AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. Breaking overnight, lawmakers in North Carolina have voted to uphold a ban on most abortions after 12 weeks of pregnancy. Republicans overrode the Democratic governor's veto, clearing the way for the law to take effect July 1st.
North Carolina's new 12-week abortion ban now in place. Anti-abortion activist Barry Mangus agrees with the ban.
The child has no voice. The child didn't ask to be here.
But abortion rights protester and Durham mother Landy Elliott says,
this bill was rammed through in 42 hours, less time than they're asking us to wait to make a decision about our bodies that are just incredibly difficult.
North Carolina's 12-week ban has rape, incest, and mother's health exceptions. Andy Field, ABC News.
President Biden will return from the G7 summit in Japan early for what he's calling final negotiations on the debt ceiling. Republicans are demanding spending cuts. The Treasury Secretary is warning that a default would trigger an economic catastrophe. This is ABC News. Chrysler is recalling more than 130,000 Jeep Cherokees due to an electrical short in power lift gates that could lead to a fire. It affects 2014 to 2016 model years. Chrysler's parent company, Stellantis, says it's working on a fix. United Airlines says it is gearing up for the busiest Memorial Day holiday weekend in more than a decade. The airline expects almost 3 million passengers. Things are getting controversial at the Cannes Film Festival that opened last night.
Johnny Depp's new film, Jean du Barry, kicking off the opening of the Cannes Film Festival Tuesday night. And there's an organized online campaign against Depp, the film, and the festival by those who believe Depp's ex-wife Amber Heard's accusations that Depp physically abused her. They're using the hashtag #CanYouNot to speak out. The president of the festival, Thierry Frémaux, answering questions Monday about Depp and separate accusations that Cannes celebrates sex abusers.
Pour un festival de violeurs.
Frémaux rejecting the criticism, saying people wouldn't attend if that's the case. Jason Athenson, ABC News.
Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said, sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid.
Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake?
No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development?
Nuh-uh.
You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobity boom boom. Scobity dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
What are jobs you never thought would be physically dangerous, but seemingly, apparently, are? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. What professions seemingly should be desk jobs?
Say, pretty safe.
Pretty safe. Not, not likely to get attacked by someone with a bat. Those kind of jobs.
Yeah. And there are a lot.
You'd think.
Yeah.
You'd think. But it does seem like there's been an uptick. An uptick in dangerous desk jobs because of people who are not mentally stable. But also the temperature of the rhetoric. And yesterday seemingly is another example of this. But two staff members yesterday who work for Representative Jerry Connolly, who's a Democrat in Virginia, were hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries after a person wielding a metal bat walked into the congressman's office in Northern Virginia and hit the staffers.
He asked for the representative first.
And so he's a constituent of Connolly's. He does everything that's been reported so far. Does not sound like a stable person.
He is not well. He filed a $26 million lawsuit against the CIA or something.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, this is a troubled human.
And so he faces charges now and of malicious wounding. I did not know that was the charge.
Okay.
I would have thought assault.
With
a weapon, but malicious wounding. That's a new term for me.
Is there non-malicious wounding?
I guess when you don't mean to hurt someone. Because malicious would mean there's the intent, right?
Yeah.
So he entered the office, asked for Connolly, who was not there, and a senior aide and intern were hit in the head and the side, which I don't know about you. I don't think that job was something that signed up. It was like, oh, I'm willing to get hit by a bat. And I don't know. I mean, the motive for the attack is unknown. It sounds like from some of the sheet of this guy, it could remain unknown. And it's just someone who has a little bit of a mental breakdown.
Well, we're always looking for answers, and there are so rarely concrete answers.
But I think it's not an isolated event. And that's where my question comes from, as what are some of the jobs in general that you'd think on paper, because there's certain jobs we know are inherently dangerous. But more and more, it seems like there are jobs that should be, you know, if not desk jobs, not jobs that any kind of weapons or injuries typically happen.
Or threats.
Or threats. But last year, Capitol Police recorded more than 9,000 threats.
Wow.
Which is up 400%.
Wow.
In the past 6 years. They investigated 7,500 cases. I don't know why they didn't investigate. No sign of why they didn't investigate the other 1,500. Maybe they were, I don't know what threshold they have to pass to be legitimate enough to investigate. But this includes the intruder attack against Paul Pelosi when the person entered their house looking for Nancy Pelosi. But, you know, my first kind of question was like, what job besides the Secret Service entails you to, you know, put yourself in physical harm's way of your boss? But I think even more so when you think about poll workers and city clerks and the threats they've been coming under, which are jobs that I'm sure when they first got into those roles, really did not think that they were going to be threatened or have anyone want, like, wish ill on them. Certainly teachers and school shootings.
What about librarians?
Do you think librarians are getting threats in the same way, like violent threats?
I do. Yes, I do. I really do.
So librarians, staffers.
Look at what happened at that library in Wisconsin where Derek Van Orden was going after this teenage worker at the library over those LGBTQ books. We're attacking librarians, people. Think about that.
And I just, you know, it's things you're like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to be physically harmed at what should be, you know, not a harmful job.
Shouldn't be a dangerous position. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. What is now a dangerous job that didn't used to be? And again, I go back to librarians of all people and poll workers and elections officials, which you would think is a very numbers-driven, data-oriented, dull job.
But I have to admit, remember, I mean, back in October, right after Halloween, when we walked into the studio and our windows were smashed in our Waukesha studio, and it turned out to be someone who it was not, it was intentional. It wasn't targeted. Thank you. To us as a radio station, he had smashed windows at a couple different places in downtown Waukesha, but we didn't know that when we walked in.
Right.
And I certainly, my first reaction was, what if this was a targeted attack that they didn't like what some of us have to say on the radio? And, you know, we publicize where we are. And that was my first thought. And what does that say as far as just the safety of any of us when we think that by doing something publicly that people don't like, you are putting yourself up to potentially be threatened with violence or have someone try to act out that violence.
And threats against your family. There's an election official in Arizona who went through so much trauma this last round that he has PTSD now.
Really?
Yeah. The threats against his family, his wife, his children, it's so disturbing and so disappointing. So disappointing.
And it's like, how do you, healthcare workers? I mean, because Tammy Baldwin only in the last month introduced that bill that would increase the severity of your consequences or your sentencing if you were caught threatening a healthcare worker. And I guess, is that the only mechanism to try to deter some of these threats? That if you get caught making one of these threats, it's a felony with that comes with serious time?
Well, don't you, you know, keyboard warriors get to be anonymous, and that makes people brave or bold,
but
if
I
not
also,
brave.
But that's what I mean. So to a certain extent, yes, keyboard warriors who are anonymous, but there's also, those people can be found out pretty easily.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, so is it protected speech when you make vile, violent threats towards someone, even if it's anonymous? And is the only way we deter people from doing that is if word gets out that, oh, you will get in real trouble for this. Like, you will be sentenced severely for just running your mouth. And is that, I don't know, is that a violation of, like, how much are threats? What does the threat have to say? I would love to, like, Jim Santel maybe would be able to answer this question. Like, how far does the threat have to go for it to still be, or not go, to still be protected under First Amendment?
Yeah,
the First Amendment. Obviously, the case we're talking about today, it was physical assault. He had a bat. But as when we talk about 9,000 threats, and that's just what the U.S. Capitol Police recorded.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That's not the country.
That's just one
spot. That's threats against, like, congressmen. And that doesn't include, you think about, like, all of the local elections, and we've talked about this plenty, of in any of the race. I'm sure Judge Janet Protasiewicz had some kind of threats at some point. Right? And so, I mean, so that's not even what we actually, that's not even the full account. And so, I don't know. I don't know what you do to actually curb this, but it's certainly, in the last 6 years, if it's gone up 400%.
But I think yes, increased penalties are going to be the only way to go, because I still think, even with all the information available out there, and people are aware that even if you're anonymous on a keyboard somewhere, you can be tracked down through your address and all the IP addresses and all that stuff, right? But I still think that there's a portion of the population who think they're invisible.
Which is funny. There's this TikTok account that I follow of this woman who, her whole shtick is people will leave a comment saying, I bet you can't find me. And she, it will be an, you know, a largely anonymous account. She'll take like one or two clues that's on this person's TikTok account. And the amount of times, I mean, she has hundreds of videos of her finding people.
Wow.
Based on people who comment on their, like, who their friends are on TikTok, and then working backwards and trying to find pictures and matching it to Instagram and matching it to Facebook and, like, Googling and stuff. And she is not employed by the FBI or the CIA. This is just a bored content creator in Chicago who is very clever and quippy in the way that she does this. But, like, it's wild to watch her find. And they're doing it through consent, right? Because these people are, like, daring her to find them.
Sure.
She's not doing it just randomly. But if this woman can do it with absolutely no resources besides an internet connection, you're not as anonymous as you think you are.
You're not invisible, sweetie.
But, yes, yeah, so if you have any other jobs that we thought were safe that are now not, that we missed, otherwise, I do have a list of the 25 most dangerous jobs in America, and there may be some on there that surprise you. So 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. Would love to hear from you. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are lamenting how many professions that seemingly should be not boring, but certainly not dangerous,
right,
now are physically dangerous because of people being unhappy with the job that you're doing, or just, you know, teachers being in the line of fire of school shootings, staffers working for elected officials who are targeted, the elected officials themselves. Although that maybe was always a little bit dangerous. We have enough assassinations country that was always maybe inherently dangerous. Healthcare workers, librarians, and you know, I mean, the question kind of also being, with such an uptick in threats and people feeling so brazen that they can make these threats, even if they won't actually carry them out, do you just, if you get caught making one of these threats, have it be a felony? Have it be serious time that you have to serve?
What's gonna dissuade these people? 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY-224, checking in. Food for thought, does calling them a keyboard warrior lead people who do that think they have a legitimate cause to fight for and escalate? I understand what you're saying, but I think without calling them keyboard warriors, they still think they have a legitimate cause that they're fighting against.
Yeah.
Right?
So the question being, is that name bolden them?
Emboldening them? Yeah. I don't know that it I don't know that it makes that much difference.
Because I always think of keyboard warrior as someone's like, actually, if in person, they would never say that. It's right. Like, it's the people who are actually cowards who the only reason they feel emboldened to say anything is because they think that they're anonymous.
Exactly.
And so if anything, I associate that term with being cowardly and having like this veil of security that you can say what you want because you don't think anyone will know who you are and there won't be consequences to it. On the YouTube live, Josh Egan said, I think it's important that people who are threatened keep pushing for the authorities to take them seriously and to follow up on them. Anyone can be found. And that would be interesting to see for people who have had threats made against them when they report them, how seriously it's taken.
Right.
And, you know, because to a certain extent, I can imagine very busy police departments maybe not having the time or the energy or the priority to follow through on them if, like, nothing actually happened.
Right.
Where they fall on the list of what are we trying, like, what do we do here?
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. What is now considered a dangerous job, which didn't used to be? Karina from Milwaukee joins us on the phone. Hey, Karina, what do you want to say?
I just want to say that for a country which prides the freedom of speech so much, it's a wonder how many people are covertly stand up behind anonymity and cannot even stood up for themselves and say what they think about and what they're not happy about and be proud of their opinion and stand up for that. And it's just it's a sneaking around and threatening people who are doing their job. And maybe, just some maybe, if you stand up out there and say what you don't like, maybe something is going to change. What the threats are going to change? That's my question, really.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Karina. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. But I don't know that the people who are anonymous, I don't know. Well, first of all, they're afraid of ramifications.
Oh, yeah.
For saying what they think. They don't want any blowback, which is why they're anonymous, and also because they're chickens.
Well, and some people don't. Like, there's some people who say what they want, and it's from their, with their chest, from their actual account, and they don't think twice about it. But certainly there's definitely, like, on Twitter, people that, and I understand to a certain extent the argument to have anonymous accounts, but I just think when it crosses over a certain line of you threatening people, that you lose your right, and people, then you should be able to have ramifications for that.
Definitely.
So I did think, as I thought of this, as far as things that are now seemingly more dangerous than they were, I did look up what the actual most dangerous jobs are.
Let me take a guess.
What do you think the most dangerous job in America is?
It's working on a farm.
That's on the list. That's not number one.
It's not number one. Can you give me a hint?
They work around electrical wires.
Electricians?
No. They work around electrical wires. Tree trimmers and pruners.
Really?
Yeah. It's the highest rate of work-caused deaths and ranks 76th for non-fatal workplace injuries.
Wow.
The profession's fatality rate is 21 times higher than the typical American job.
That's terrifying.
Isn't that wild? To be up there just trimming trees, trying to get them out of the way of the electrical wires.
Wow.
Second is commercial pilots, which also surprised me. Third is farm and ranch animal workers.
Yeah.
And so
farms can be very dangerous places.
Oh,
you gotta
yeah.
be careful.
I mean, I remember a couple years back, I went to a dairy farm in Jefferson County, and it's a family farm. And the woman and her husband were taking over basically for her in-laws. And so her mother-in-law lost her leg on one of the tractors. And so, like, they were accommodating and figuring that out, but that was just like, and she was in her 60s when it happened.
Oh my.
And just forever disabled after her spending her entire life on the farm. All right. Well, when we come back, maybe we'll read off a couple more dangerous jobs, but also, what has more spin right now? Comer and his investigation, or Durham and his investigation? This is As Goes Wisconsin. Comer and his investigation.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. The Secret Service is investigating how a man was able to get inside the home of Jake Sullivan, President Biden's national security advisor.
A spokesperson says the man entered Sullivan's Washington home around 3 a.m. through an unlocked door, even though Sullivan has round-the-clock Secret Service protection. Sources say the man appeared intoxicated, and after being confronted by Sullivan, left within minutes, possibly not knowing where he was. Leadership at the Secret Service is reportedly furious. It comes amid growing concerns about security for federal officials and their families. Attacks on lawmakers are up 400% in the last 6 years.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. President Biden will return from the G7 summit in Japan early to continue negotiations on the debt ceiling. North Carolina lawmakers voted to override the governor's veto of a 12-week abortion ban in the state. The bill lowers the limit of abortion from 20 weeks down to 12 weeks. The White House says it will continue to call on Congress to codify abortion access for all. This is ABC News.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madinaire. And welcome back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Do you want to hear any more of the most dangerous jobs?
Absolutely.
So we said number one, the most dangerous job is tree trimmers and pruners, which I thought was surprising.
I can see that though now that you know.
Now that you
say it, yeah, it makes sense.
Then was commercial pilots. Then farm and ranch animal workers, including aquaculture, logging workers, which
loggers.
Makes sense. Loggers.
Yeah.
Roofers, makes sense.
Yep.
First line supervisors of farming, fishing, and forestry workers, agricultural equipment operators, tractor and truck drivers, underground mining machine operators. I'm trying to find one that's like, whoa. Yeah, number 12 was landscaping, lawn service, and groundskeepers.
Anything with equipment.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. What is not on that list are librarians and poll workers and nurses.
Or shouldn't. Yeah. I mean, they're not on the list, but it's the list of is going up as far as
who's getting threats.
And so, but yeah, I thought that was interesting as far as the baked in harm that could come with some of the jobs that people, and it's all jobs that like we need, right? Like this is not stuff that necessarily is going to be AI may not replace these jobs soon.
I don't see AI scaling trees.
I don't. Yeah. You'd think to a certain extent some of this stuff. I saw a tweet over this about this over the weekend of, you know, humans continuing to do labor and AI getting to do like paint and like make art was not the future that we thought we were signing up for. And it's like, that is really true.
That is true.
And it's like the things that we thought, you know, having automation would allow humans to actually do the things that we are uniquely good at, which is creativity and critical thought and, you know, being able to do art and have the robots do the things that we don't want to do. But right now it doesn't seem like that's really
no
the way things are going. So I feel like, and I would love your opinion on this, because my take on both of these things is with the amount of problems we're facing in the country, can we just end the arms race of these political investigations?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, what are you, crazy?
Because it seems like we now, in less than a week, have two investigations that there's not a lot of evidence for, that it were a waste of time. And now are getting spun by different sides in different ways, and this proves what. And obviously last week we talked about James Comer's big swing and a miss as far as, you know, calling together this big oversight committee hearing, and this was going to prove Biden's implication and being bribed and the Biden, you know,
crime family.
And basically point blank was asked, do you have any evidence? And he was like, no. And then Rojo was like, we're never probably going to have any proof, but you got to infer these.
Just infer the guilt. Infer the guilt, because that's how our courts work.
And then now, what was this, Sunday or yesterday?
It
was Sunday. Comer was on Maria Bartiromo's show. And, you know, she is someone who has been said to be like a true believer in some of this stuff. And even she was just floored when he basically says, yeah, we don't know where any of our whistleblowers are.
Lost them.
And my brother tweeted or texted to me. He's like, this is basically a binary option. There's binary options here. It's like either he never had any of these guys lined up in the first place, or, you know, the conspiracy theorists are going to say they've all been targeted.
Well,
and they've all been, the Illuminati has come for them.
Naturally, the deep state came and took them all. Irrefutable evidence, don't forget. Irrefutable evidence to prove that the Biden family is a crime family. And I misplaced my invisible friend.
And because they said, I think there was 9 or 10 of them, and they're all either in jail, can't be found. What was the third option?
Oh, gosh, let me find it.
So there's, on this one side, there's the Oversight Committee headed by James Comer trying to find the link with,
I just want to mention one thing. On Twitter, one commenter said about James Comer's missing whistleblower, I do so have a whistleblower. She lives in Canada. You just never met her.
It's long distance.
Exactly. She's there. You just have never seen her.
But simultaneously, now, you know, I would say the Democrats and the FBI, who fervently for years wanted there to be a conspiracy between Trump's campaign and Russia, got a blow this morning. As well, or yesterday.
Yesterday.
And it was in the news, the news this morning.
Right.
So Trump appointed special counsel John Durham has finally released his report on the agency's probe into allegations linking Trump and his 2016 campaign to Russia. And he concluded that it should have never happened. It's a 306-page report that states that the agency rushed into the investigation based on raw, unanalyzed, and uncorroborated intelligence, while being much more cautious regarding claims against Hillary Clinton.
Didn't they investigate Hillary Clinton for like two and a half years?
For
emails.
For emails. And I don't know. I mean, this is something that, like, because this feels, as far as the news cycle goes, it's like, oh, yeah, that was a huge thing for a long time. And so I don't know. Like, it just, to me, my takeaway from both these things is, like, they're political investigations that don't necessarily have legs that people get their, like, hang their hopes on to, like, get like, the gotcha to the guy that they don't like.
Right.
And this is going to prove something. And if we can just get in, like, the time and the effort and the money that is put into these things, instead of actually trying to be directed towards fixing problems, is beyond frustrating. And it is an exact example. I don't always, like, agree with when people are like, oh, both sides. Like, but this is a clear example of both sides of being like, we're going to try to target our political enemies, make them look bad, try to catch them for something, whether or not we have evidence for it, instead of focusing on other things that are actually bigger problems.
Yeah, I don't know that there are a lot of Americans who are sitting around the dinner table worried about either of those reports.
No. I mean, well, there are some.
There
are certainly some.
Certainly. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, taking your opinions on this. From the 715, not investigations, spinvestigations.
Seriously, I mean, because, like, and now everyone's got an opinion on it, right? Like, you were saying as you were perusing Twitter last night that, like, there's certain camps that are saying this is a nothing burger and, like, nothing. Because, like, really, the Durham thing, like, nothing's going to come from it.
Well, there's no evidence in it.
The FBI says they've already made changes to how the criteria they use to launch investigations. And because this is looking at something that was in 2016. The report, it's kind of like the Mueller report came out, and there's, like, a lot in there, but there was also, like, some recommendations, but it was also like, well, here you go. This is it. And the people who are kind of, like, I feel like obsessed with this will keep digging. And just like there's the people who are obsessed with Hunter Biden's laptop are going to keep digging and probably get nowhere when there's just bigger things that we need to be dealing with.
And bigger things that the American people want.
Yeah!
And actually want to see get done. Like, not having to shut down all our national parks in case they blow up the debt.
They don't raise the debt ceiling.
I mean, there are going to be widespread ramifications if this happens.
But also the border.
Yes.
I mean, because I was reading this morning, like, Eric Adams, mayor of New York City, is on the outs with Biden because he is pretty vocally criticizing Biden as far as there is no resources or assistance to these cities where people are being in, like, there's an influx of immigrants.
Right.
And, like, there is a huge opportunity here. We were talking, my family and I were talking about this weekend, as far as, like, and I've said this before, there is, it takes a system, it takes organization, but how is there not an effort to get visas for this influx of people who are coming here who want to work, and the amount of people who say nobody wants to work anymore? Like, how can we not put these two together? How is there not smarter people working on this?
Well, and again, this is an issue that I think Americans on both sides of the aisle want to see the immigration issues addressed, and yet there is a refusal to do anything because you can point fingers at the other side. And therefore, it never has to get resolved. You just get to continue kicking it back and forth as a political football. Although I will say, a few years ago, I thought we were close to getting the Dreamers citizenship, and then that blew up.
Yeah.
And again, this is something that goes back decades. Our immigration system has been broken for decades. People want it to get fixed, and instead we waste taxpayer resources on these, like you said, political investigations.
So My prediction is that neither of these will actually go anywhere beyond people commenting on it on Twitter or news shows talking about it.
Right.
But do you have any other feedback or thoughts on either of these investigations?
I just love the idea that, whoops, I lost my whistleblower. I mean, we're in close contact and I have all this information that's so damning and it's just incredible and it's going to blow your mind. And now, he was just here. And now he's not answering my calls.
Which I guess to a certain extent, like, it happened. I mean, you know, key witnesses in big cases change their mind. And maybe that's just, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how often that happens versus how often it happens in the movies.
But if you are an elected official and you're going on all these media outlets saying you have irrefutable proof of this wrongdoing and this criminality, wouldn't you want to make sure that the person who can corroborate that's pretty well sewed up?
Yeah, I think right? That's the thing. It's like this is, before you start doing your media tour, this was not that buttoned up.
No, you want to make sure you're not going to lose your witness.
I know.
That seems important.
But you just got to infer it.
I'm not a legal mind.
Well, we were going to touch briefly on, but I don't think we have enough time anymore. But there is, the rumblings of who's going to run for Senate against Tammy Baldwin. There were Bill Glauber wrote an article yesterday on Tom Tiffany, starting to do kind of his
feeling it out
exploratory meetings, seeing how competitive things are going to get, trying to see how the primary might look, because obviously there's been some contentious primaries in the past couple cycles for Republicans. And that changes the landscape if you have to duke it out before you actually have to duke it out in the general. But I love this. So Tom Tiffany's bought some
domains.
And he's also, doing kind of these meetings. But he still hasn't asked his wife, apparently. And so in the article from Bill Glauber, quote, "I have not had sign off from my family. I've got to talk to my wife and family to see if it's going to work for them." It's like, wait, isn't that the first step? In my household, as someone who has a partner who did run for office.
Right. Can you imagine if he just sprung that on you?
No. And I would be supportive, but it would be like, wait, no, we got to.
You did what?
We have to talk first. No, that's not have these meetings and talk to constituents and buy domain names and then we're going to talk. Like we're going to talk first. Anyways. All right. When we come back, Wisconsin in the Wild, Ben Chan on Jeopardy, making us proud. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello? I'm a Marine.
No matter how you served.
My buddies from the Army are all gone now. I'm really alone.
No matter what you're going through.
I keep getting calls about the bills, and I'm trying to get a job. I feel so stuck.
We are here for you. If you or a veteran in your life is experiencing thoughts of suicide, dial 988. Then press 1 to reach the Veterans Crisis Line.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Thank you. Yeah, that's... last night I was like, I feel really smart. Like, I'm going to be good. Like, I feel... My brain's working well.
And did you feel like you got right back into the timing? Was that a huge part of today?
Yeah, like they say, actually, rehearsal... I didn't feel great in rehearsal, but then, obviously, it's like... It was working.
And Hannah, you've had a wonderful run here. We've had such a great time watching you play, and Ben was obviously a terrific competitor for you. How are you feeling? As I said, it's not goodbye, it's see you soon.
Incredibly relieved, honestly. Like, I had this, like, stress for the last, I don't know, like, it's nice to be able to think about something else for a minute. And I'm glad that Ben beat me, because he did an amazing job. Like,
wonderful game.
Ben Chan! Wisconsin in the Wild.
Yay!
It's a segment we like to do sporadically when Wisconsin is in pop culture. And actually, we have another one we're going to talk more about tomorrow, but Wisconsin was also featured in Succession this week.
Very cool.
So we'll talk about that tomorrow. But Ben Chan proved that it takes a champ to beat a champ. And so he is a professor at St. Norbert College. He teaches philosophy. And he made his much anticipated return to Jeopardy on last night, and he extended his streak to 4 wins by ending Hannah Wilson's $229,801 run.
Wow.
And that's a lot of money. It is wild how much money you can win on Jeopardy.
It takes a while to add up, though.
But I was thinking about that of just the different kinds. Because, like, I think of IMA... above intelligence, like, person, I would get smashed on Jeopardy.
I'm not
great at trivia. Like, I'm great at the, like, oh, I think I read that thing once, and, like, I vaguely know, but I have to look it up. Like, I know that it exists, and I know how to find it to verify the actual details of the fact. I can't. The amount of information these people know, and not only that, but they can do it as quickly as they can do it on Jeopardy, is absurd.
Well, and it's everything from engineering to history to art history to
pop culture.
Pop culture. The breadth of their knowledge is really impressive. It is.
I love that the woman that he beat was like, yeah, I'm ready to be done.
I'm so exhausted.
This is stressful. Because it is. It's like beyond just needing the note. Like, it's stressful if you're not a TV person, knowing how many people are watching you every night. And, like, Jeopardy fans are notoriously ruthless as far as their, like, nitpicky how people answer the question. And if they pronounce something wrong, and the different host says they were trying to find their new host, Esther, you know, Alex Trebek, RIP. And, like, they make their problems and their issues known pretty, like, I feel like every once in a while that I'll hear some headline of, like, Jeopardy fans upset over
over a word that I can't pronounce.
Yeah, exactly. And so this was Ben Chan's 4th consecutive win. And it makes him the 11th contestant eligible for the next Tournament of Champions.
Impressive.
And so the unusual circumstances. So basically he was winning and then he got COVID. And so he was unable to travel for the tapings.
Oh, wow.
And so the Jeopardy promised to bring him back. But it meant instead of going up against 2 new contestants, he would have to face the current champ, Wilson, who is a data scientist from Chicago. And so I guess there was some fun NFC North rival talk.
Because obviously, little trash talk.
But, you know, because he was from St. Norbert's is in Green Bay. Ben Chan lives in Green Bay. And the reigning champ, Hannah Wilson, lives in Chicago. And so there was like this, like, Packers-Bears little theme going, I guess, between the two. But yeah, so I guess that means he'll come back tonight. That's how Jeopardy works, right?
It is. That is the way that it works.
4 a week or 5 a week? I don't know. If you're a big Jeopardy fan, let us correct us as far as four shows a week or 5 shows a week.
You should call them Jeopardy snobs.
Jeopardy snobs?
Jeopardy purists, perhaps.
But I feel like this is always fun as far as when you see, like, you know what I found out recently is, there was some, I think an American Idol contestant from this, I don't know, there's so many rounds of that. But I thought that there was someone from Wisconsin recently who was on American Idol. But I think I caught wind that there's going to be someone from Wisconsin on this fall season of The Amazing Race.
Which is actually probably one of the only reality shows I do not despise.
Really?
Yes.
I've never watched it.
I've seen one episode. It just that,
so of that one episode, of that one episode, I don't hate it, but I never watched another one ever again.
But it seems to be, it's less salacious, it's less backstabby, which is one reason why I always hated Survivor, because all Survivor did was celebrate the worst in humanity.
Of like the game?
Yeah.
Of playing politics?
Anything to win, man. Anything to win. Cheat. Double cross.
Set people up. That's how I never got into Survivor. I watched a couple, I think I watched one or two seasons of Big Brother like a decade ago. And that felt that was even more so than the Survivor. Because Survivor, you actually have to like survive on an island with no resources. Big Brother is like you're just living in a house and you have to survive the confines of living with the same people for 3 months.
Or obnoxious.
It's still like they have contests and stuff and you have to win. And then it's like you're the house, whatever. I can tell that my baby brain is already started. Like the recall of actual details when I was like, where's the word? It's on the tip of my tongue. But Amazing Race, I've never watched. I've heard it's fun. But yeah, I can't imagine you were ever a big Bachelor fan.
Oh my. if you ever want to get in touch, 844-967-2789, you can text and or call 844-96-PARTY from the 224. Jeopardy airs 5 times a week at 4 p.m. Central. Jeopardy Masters Tournament last week was prime time, 5 times a week.
It's at 4 p.m.? That's so early.
Who do you think watches this? Although there are a lot of Jeopardy fans who are not old.
For some reason, I always thought it was...
I thought it was a 6 o'clock...
Yeah.
But that's Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune is always the one that follows.
I thought they were back to back. I always thought Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune were back to back.
We're going to have to get up on our game shows.
Someone needs to let us know. We obviously are not watching enough midday game shows in our
other stuff going on.
Other stuff going on. All right, well, coming up in the noon hour. So when we come back, is AI going to curb our loneliness? You know, in the last couple of weeks we talked about the epidemic that loneliness is in this country right now. And with the rise of AI, there are talks of AI pets. There's talks of AI significant others.
Of course.
And I'm going to be open-minded, and I would love to hear from you if this is something that you would pay for, something that you would look into. Is this something like relying on AI to curb loneliness? Is this going to hurt or is this going to help? So we're going to talk about that when we come back. And then at 12:30, Mark Sommerhauser is back 2 weeks in a row. So this time we're going to talk about the comparison of the two tax plans being talked about in Madison, one being Democratic Evers' plan versus Devin LeMahieu's plan. So stay tuned. Now we have the top of the hour news. We'll be back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Lionel Moy.